I ran into one older man. I say older, he's my age, so he's an older man. And then one young man. The older man was a man that I used to work with. And he came up and we started talking, and he was a guy that at work, I always tried to encourage him to read his Bible. He was a very competitive person. And he's in very good shape, very muscular, and he could beat me at just about anything that we both did. I mean, he was just, you know, that much bigger, stronger, and that. But the one thing that I could always beat him at was Bible reading, and I kept harping on him. I said, you know, you could read the Bible more. And so he came up to me at Myers the other day, and he asked me, he said, how are you doing on your Bible reading? I said, well, I'm doing good. How are you doing on yours? He said, well, I'm not doing so good. I said, what's the matter? He said, I just can't find the time to read my Bible. And so he used to be a big TV fan, and I hadn't seen him for probably 6 or 7 years. I said, well, how much TV are you watching nowadays? And he said, well, I watch about 3 hours a night. I said, well, don't you think that you could give up some of your TV and you could read your Bible more? And don't you think it'd be better for you? And he said, this is the same old story. Haven't you updated your story since the last time we talked? Well, I got to tell you, he called me a week or so later. He says, I've made a decision. I said, is that right? He said, what have you decided to do? He said, I told my wife to call the cable company and cancel our subscription. And I said, that's what I said, Brother Ferris. Praise the Lord. I said, well, why'd you have Loretta, his wife's name, Loretta. I said, why'd you have Loretta do it? Because he said, I was afraid I'd change my mind if I did it. And she'll do it. Now, the other man that I ran into was a young man. He used to come to our church on occasion, and I started the conversation with him the same way I did with the other guy. I said, well, how are you doing? He said, well, I'm doing better. And I hadn't seen him for a while either. I'm doing better. He said, I really got into some trouble. I hung around the wrong people. I started doing things I shouldn't have done. Started drinking, started taking drugs. But couple weeks ago, the Lord really got a hold of me, and I haven't had a drink in 2 weeks. I haven't had a drug in 2 weeks. I said, "Are you trying to go cold turkey, or trying to get some help?" He said, "No, I'm just trying to do it on my own." And he said, "I wish you'd pray for me. I need to get my life straightened out. I'm not happy with where I am. I realize it's just I'm in a downward spiral, and if I don't change, my life's not going to amount to much." And so I said, well, let's just pray right now. And we were in the frozen food section, and so we just bowed our heads. I put my hand on his shoulder, and we prayed. But here, again, these two guys inspired my message tonight, because as they were talking to me, I thought about this passage from Philippians that we read a moment ago. "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." The three steps to Christian growth are contained in those verses. And they make a good three-point sermon. Number one, I count not myself to have apprehended. I haven't arrived yet. I'm not at where I want to be. I'm dissatisfied with where I am. I want to be in a different place, but I'm not there yet. Number two, forget the past. I've tried in the past to change. I've tried in the past to read my Bible more. I've tried in the past to get rid of these things in my life that I know shouldn't be there. But I failed. I failed. And so forget the past. And then number three, press forward. Press forward. Reach toward that goal. Set a goal. That one thing Sometimes we set too many goals. We have four or five different things, and we can't do any of them. And so Paul says, this one thing I do, I have one thing I want to accomplish, and I'm pressing toward it. Tonight I want to speak on the subject, I have not apprehended. I have not apprehended. Do you ever stop and think that the three steps to salvation are the same three steps to Christian growth? Number one, I count not myself to have apprehended. As a sinner, I don't measure up to the standard of Christ. I haven't arrived yet. I was always taught when I was growing up, in order to get somebody saved, you had to get them lost first. In order to present them the gospel and get them to listen to the gospel, you had to help them understand that they were a sinner and they were under the condemnation and judgment of sin. And unless something changed, they were going to go to hell and live forever. And so as sinners, we need to understand that we haven't arrived yet. We're not in that position where God wants us to be. Our sin makes us a sinner, and the Bible says it doesn't take many. We break the law in one point, we're guilty of all. And so if we have a bad attitude, or we gossip, or we lie, we're just as guilty as the murderer in God's sight, just as guilty as those sometimes cardinal sins that we think about. And the first step to getting saved is to realize and admit, I'm a sinner. I'm not where God wants me to be. I'm not living my life the way he wants me to live. And it doesn't matter how I live it apart from Christ. I am washed in my sin with no hope of ever getting saved. So we have to count ourselves not to have apprehended. Then we have to forget the past. Some people have so many sins, they say, I don't know how God can save me. They don't know what kind of sinner I am. Well, the Apostle Paul said, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. I want to tell you tonight, if you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, it doesn't matter what kind of sinner you are, because the grace and the love of my Savior covers every sin. His blood is powerful, and it can forgive all sin. Doesn't matter. And we just need to forget the past and turn to Christ. And then we need to press forward. We need to take that step toward Christ and say, I'm a sinner. I deserve the punishment of sin to be separated from you. But I believe you paid the price for my sin. And I am receiving you for myself. I'm asking you to be my Savior. The Bible says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And once we realize that we're a sinner, once we forget about the wickedness of our sin, we could all say, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And once we realize that the love and blood of Jesus Christ is powerful enough to forgive any sin, we need to come to him and ask him to save us. That's what we need to do. And so the same three steps that work in Christian growth work in salvation. Now, salvation is an instantaneous event. It happens, you are saved the moment that you ask Jesus to save you. He doesn't put you on trial. He doesn't make you go before a committee. I mean, you've claimed the promise in the book, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, and you call upon the name of the Lord and ask him to save you, you're saved. It happens in a moment. It happens in the twinkling of an eye. Your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. Your reservation is made for heaven. The Holy Spirit, not in this order, but the Holy Spirit comes in to dwell, and you become a child of God. Amen. Now, it doesn't work that way as we grow as Christians. It's not instantaneous. It's a process. It doesn't happen in a moment. It happens over time. But it involves the same three steps. Number one, I have not apprehended. I haven't arrived. I'm not like Jesus. And that's what we're striving for. We're striving to be like Christ. We say there's some things in my life that need changing. And change doesn't come until we get dissatisfied with where we are. Change doesn't come until we get dissatisfied in some area of our life and say, hey, in this area of my life, there's a long way between me and Christ. I am not the way I want to be. I am not in the position I want to be in this area of my life. I need to change. Maybe it's in Bible reading. Maybe it's in church attendance. Maybe it's in the way that you forgive people. Maybe it's the attitudes that you have. Last Sunday night, if you were here, you remember I preached a sermon. I asked a question. Are you a Christian or just born again? Are you a Christian or just born again? I asked the question, do you love your enemies like Jesus loved his enemies? Do you endure suffering like Jesus endured suffering? Do you forgive like Jesus? Do you love the lost like Jesus? After the service, one of our dear ladies came out. Now, if anybody's a Christian, she is. She is. She is. But she said, preacher, I've forgiven everyone in my life except for one person. I haven't forgiven her. And your message tonight reminded me of that person. And she said, you remember what she did to me, don't you? Because she had come and talked to me about it. I said, oh yeah, I remember. But I told her, I said, I want to tell you something. The fact that she came to your mind was not my, I didn't cause it. It's not my fault. The Holy Spirit pricked you tonight about that person. It was the Holy Spirit. And by the way, the Holy Spirit will help us get satisfied in certain areas of our life if we'll let him. He'll prick us and say, hey, in this area of your life, you could be more like Jesus. Don't be satisfied with where you are. You need to make some changes in this area of your life. And so I said to her, I said, well, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? And she said, well, I don't know. What do you think I should do? I said, well, you're asking me? I'm going to tell you. I think you ought to call her. Amen. She said, well, I don't know if I could talk to her or not. I said, well, okay, if you can't call her, then write her a note. Write her a note and just tell her that you want to restore your relationship. Amen. That you want to forget what was done, and you want to have the relationship. And they were good friends at one time. You want to restore that relationship that you have. If you don't want to write her a note, just go knock on her door. She said, well, I don't know if I could be civil. I said, well, maybe you can on your own, but greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Pray before you go. Ask the Holy Spirit to go with you. But do something. Because, again, it wasn't me that made you remember this lady. It was the Holy Spirit of God telling you there's an area in your life that you need to change, that you need to be more like Jesus. And we all have areas in our life. Maybe like her, we need to be more forgiving. Maybe there's somebody in your life that you haven't forgiven. You're still holding a grudge. You say, preacher, you don't know what, and it doesn't matter what they did to you. Look at what we did to Jesus. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Doesn't matter what the person did. If you're going to be like Jesus, you need to forgive them. It may be in your prayer life. It may be in your Bible reading. It may be in the direction of your life, like that young man that I talked to. But as the Holy Spirit pricks you in that area, get dissatisfied. And say, I don't want to stay like this. I don't want to stay in this spot. I want to become more like Jesus. And then number two, forget the past. Forget the past. Paul certainly had to when God called him. I mean, he was a persecutor of Christians. He rounded up Christians. He threw them in jail. He stood by while they were being stoned. His duty, he thought, was to stamp out Christianity, and he did it with all the zeal and vigor that he could muster. And then he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. And he realized that his zeal was misdirected. He realized the one he was trying to eliminate was the one that he needed most in his life. And so he had to forget his past. He had to forget what he did. He couldn't have done what he did for God without forgiving himself for what he'd done to the cause of Christ. And so do we. We have to forget past failures. You say, "Preacher, I've tried to be more forgiving, but every time I've tried, I've failed." And I'll remind you tonight, you haven't failed until you quit trying. You haven't failed until you quit trying. And so you didn't make it the last time. Try it again. You didn't, and if you don't make it this time, try it again. Just keep trying. Again, if the Holy Spirit pricks you, then decide, "I don't want to stay here. And Holy Spirit, help me. Help me. Help me to forget the times I've failed in the past. Help me to forget it." And then number three, reach forward. Press toward the mark. Here's my goal. Here's my goal. I don't want anybody in my life to say that I haven't forgiven them. That'd be a good goal. If you have aught between you and any other person, it would be a good goal to get rid of that aught. Amen. And now, you say, "Preacher, who are you preaching to tonight?" I'm not preaching to anybody tonight. I'm just taking out my shotgun, you know, where the pellets land is up to you. If you have aught with anybody in your life, do your best to fix it. Amen. Say, "Preacher, I've tried before." Well, try again. Try again. Try again. We want to reach that mark. We want to be like Jesus. We want, and so Paul says, "I'm reaching forth." That word "reaching forth" means to press constantly, over and over and over, ever trying. He said, "This one thing I do." Too many times we take on too many. We take on too many things to try. If you're working on eight different things, none of them have a priority. So pick one. Pick one for the next 2 months. I'm going to work on this one thing. I'm going to be more like Jesus in this one area of my life in the next 2 months than I am right now. And strive for it. Reach forth over and over and over and over again. That's how you got saved. You got saved by being dissatisfied as a sinner. And you came, you reached for Christ, and he saved you. That's the same way to grow in our Christian life. I don't want to be in this spot. God doesn't want me to be in this spot. I can be more like Christ in this area of my life. And I'm going to forget the times I failed in the past, and I'm going to press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, you haven't arrived yet. You're not where God wants you to be. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You're still a sinner. You're still under the condemnation of sin. And again, regardless of your sin, our Savior is big enough. His love is broad enough. His blood is red enough, however you want to say it, to cover every sin in your life. Reach out to him tonight. He calls you to come. He calls you to come. Why don't you come? Why don't you come? Not a better day. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, not a better time to get saved than right now. Than right now. And then for the many Christians that are here, ask the Holy Spirit to prick you. Ask him to prick you. Holy Spirit, show me an area in my life that I can be more like Jesus. And then help me to press toward that mark. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for sending Jesus to die on Calvary's cross to pay for our sin. Every one of our sins, he paid for. Not one he left out. Not one his blood couldn't cover. Every single one was paid for on Calvary. Thank you that most of us tonight have come to Christ. Ask him to save us. But Father, I pray if there is just one here tonight that's not done that, I pray you'd help them see their sin, the penalty for that sin, and the price that Jesus paid on Calvary for them. And help them come tonight and ask Jesus to be their Savior. And then I pray for the many Christians that are here. Pray for myself. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would prick us, that you would make clear to us that area in our life that we haven't arrived yet. We're not like Jesus. I pray you'd help us make some holy vows tonight to try again to become more like him. I ask you to bless this invitation. Again, Father, use it to build your kingdom. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.